In this chapter, Emunah V'Yira, Perek Esrim, he starts off with something which is, on the one hand, you would say it's not necessarily the most attractive introduction. On the other hand, Dafka, because of that, paradoxically, maybe it grabs our attention even more. He says as follows: Od lanu dvarim bevodat Emunah. We haven't finished just yet. There's more to talk about. Ulai ein divrei haperek hazeh begeder moshchem esalev v'avheim dvarim kashim kigidim. Wow. So basically says, listen, what I'm about to talk about in this chapter, it may not be the most exciting thing. It may not be the thing that's going to attract you the most. It may not be your favorite or your easiest topic for you to digest. It may, you know, go down hard, if you will. Kasha kigidim. But sometimes you need to take a bitter pill for your medicine, and this is important for you to know. So, you know, on the one hand, usually it's not the way you want to attract people. Come, this will be hard for you. You know, on the other hand, sometimes it's what we need to hear. So what's the premise? He points out that a very well-known pasuk, we just said it this morning, it's the last thing we say before we begin Oz Yashir every single day, from Parshat B'Shalach. The Jewish people saw everything that Hashem had done in Egypt, right, at the Yam Suf, etc. They feared Hashem, and they believed in Hashem. And they believed in Moshe. The whole "and Moshe" thing is its own huge literature about what Moshe is doing in here. But the fear comes before the emunah. Says Rav Volpe, the question is obvious. Hashaylah before Semet. Lama Torah magdima kana yira li emunah. Hashaylah fi musageinu. Kodah ha'adam ma'amin v'achar kachlu yarei. Right? The order seems to be out of order and reversed. It doesn't seem to make any sense. Obviously, logically, intuitively, we think first you have to believe in something, then you could fear it. How could you fear someone or something and only afterwards believe in it? The order seems to be off. So he points out that many people discuss this question, and he particularly references the Ozer Rover Revi in his Sefer Eish Das. He doesn't actually tell us what the Ozer Rover said, other than that he quoted a Zohar. Take a look a little bit below, you see the indented part, that's a citation, that's a quote from the Zohar. The Zohar is in Aramaic. We'll just read the first sentence of it, that's the important part. Kol Barnash. Any human being, the dachle lahakadosh baruch hu, that fears Hashem, shariye imei mehemnusa dekayos. That means that he has within him sufficient, the right amount of emuna. So the Zohar clearly is, so to speak, as we might say, doubling down, leaning in, talking about the relationship between yira and emuna. Or as Rav Volpe summarizes in the paragraph right below, Hare Dafka, what do you see from the Zohar? Dafka Adam Hayari Esakarish Barhu Shora Imo Ha'emuna Karaui. The Zohar is stating a thesis, is making a statement, axiomatic statement, that only a person who fears Hashem has sufficient emuna. Hu Adam Hashalem Bavorat Mora. And that's a person who is an Adam Hashalem, which is kind of almost hard to translate literally. It means a complete person, but it means so much more if you appreciate how that word is used in the Torah context. It means you have all of and in the right balance of the various different midos that a person should have. So a key ingredient to that, you'll be forever missing something, you'll be forever off your axis to some extent if you don't have sufficient emunah. In order to be an Adam HaShalem, part of your emunah must contain yira. V'nimtza ki be'emes, says Rav Volpe, again summarizing what we see both from the Chumash implicitly and from the Zohar explicitly, ki be'emet, hayira hi haschala le'emunah. We don't yet understand why yet, right? We're going to have to get to that. That's the chiddush of the chapter. But he is reiterating and confirming the impression we get from the pashtus of the psukim that yira is a component of and even a precedent and antecedent of emuna. So in order to help us understand that, he says, let's learn the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam, when he counts his Sefer HaMitzvos, the very first mitzvah is to believe in Hashem. And this side point, not our topic, but this is a huge discussion even in halachic literature. How could the Rambam count the mitzvah of believing in Hashem? Right? It seems to be very circular. Who's commanding me to believe? If I don't believe in the commander, then why would I listen to the command? So you would think you have to believe in Hashem as a prerequisite to then believing in any mitzvahs. So how can you make one of the mitzvahs believing in Hashem? And that's already the Rishonim argue on the Rambam, and some of them don't count. So what's the answer to the Rambam? That's not our topic. But the Rambam does count Emunah B'Hashem as a mitzvah. And here says Rav Volpe, if you take a look at the Rambam, he actually says that the belief in God, the mitzvah, this is a mitzvah d'oraisa, the first one the Rambam lists, one of the 613, to believe in Hashem, is comprised of three components. Number one is, you see where he changed the font. Oh, thank you, Ezra. This is in honor of the yortzeit of your brother. What is his name?
Chana ben Avram.
Chana ben Avram. Okay, please feel free to eat during the shir, and if not, then on your way out of the shir. Okay, please make a bracha l'zeichah neshmaso. So the Rambam says there's three components to Yira. The first, and you can see in the change of the font, we'll just read the headlines and we'll explain afterwards. Ha'amanat ha'elokut. What does that mean? Belief in elokut. So that says the Rambam in the line after that, he explains that's the most basic. That's believing in what the philosophers call the prime cause. The very fact that the whole world was created by some prime cause, and that is what we call God, that's the first basic concept in Emunah. We have to believe, right? The world wasn't eternal, wasn't kadmon, it wasn't an accident. There was a prime cause. Helokut. Two lines below, what's the second component? He'emonat ha'yichud. To believe in the yichud, the unity of God. And what is that, says the Rambam? That all the things that we have seen in the world ever since then. You see things, wow, look at God's doing this. God made this. God made it rain. God made it this. He made an earthquake. I mean, whatever he made. To realize that all of that is from the same force that was the prime cause. It's not two separate things, and it's not that there's one God for the good things and one God for the bad things, the way, various different other philosophies believed over time. But everything is unified. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. God is one, meaning it's all together, it's all unified. All of those are things that we kind of would have expected if you talk about theology, philosophy, belief in Hashem. And yet, what is the third mitzvah that the Rambam quotes? It's Yirat Shemayim. But he doesn't say it the way we might say it. He doesn't say it frum. He doesn't say it like a mashkiach, or now we have to say a mashpia. Right? He doesn't say it like that. Says the Rambam, lahamin yiroso. I have to say, my whole life, I didn't notice this before. I've seen all these Rambams before. But it didn't strike me until Revolvi points it out. The Rambam refers to Yira as an emunah. Lahamin yiroso. Ulafached mimenu, to be scared. Velonia kakofra mahochi b'shvirus libam ubekeri. Right? Not like those people who feel like they can walk around, think I can do anything I want, and there are no consequences, there's no one in charge. Less din, less dayan. I can do whatever I want. Everything's random anyway. But rather, what's the mitzvah? To believe that, nire b'yiras onsho b'choleis v'zeh omru yisparach tashem lokecha tira. To believe that there are consequences, to believe that there's a sheriff, to believe that there's someone watching, to believe that there will be consequences, all of that is Yira Shemayim. Okay? Wow. So now says Revolvi, summarizing, what do you see from this? Something amazing. Hari Rambam mona es ha-yira kemitzvah semuna. The Rambam formulates Yira as a form of belief. Lahamin, as the Rambam said. Nimsa ki Yira hu chelik me'emuna. Again, now really confirming, triple confirming, what we've already seen from the Pasuk, from the Zohar, and now from the Rambam. Now we begin the transition of trying to make sense of this. Now that it's good that we keep on proving it, but the original question remains, how does that make sense? It's good that you keep on saying it, but what's the logic? Why is Yira, I think if I polled anyone before we started this year, Amun is a good thing, Yira is a good thing, but not every good thing has to be related. Right? Not every good guy and every good girl are the right shidduch. Right? Just because they're good doesn't mean they go together. So what's the but yet we see now three times they're going together. What's the logic? So in order to understand this, I think this is a really remarkable piece. He references something that we saw again. I was away for 2 weeks and we had learning Hanukkah last week. But I think it was the last time we learned an actual Emunah chapter. Even before that, or maybe one or two ago, he had focused on, if you recall, the importance of tziur, of imagination, of visualizing, which again. It's part of, I've mentioned this a few times, and it's relevant to this chapter as well. The whole unit is not Revolvi philosophizing. I'm not saying he was against philosophy. And he's not wearing a theologian. He's not a professor in the ivory tower. I'm not saying he was against any of those things. That's not what he's doing. He's trying to explain how to make Emunah practical and real. So if you recall, at that point, he said, you might think it's so simplistic to have an image of God, to imagine myself at the Akedah, to imagine myself at the foot of Yam Suf. That's what kids do. Instead of, that's what we all have to do. The problem is that adults think that they're more sophisticated than kids. Right? As a side point, the Rav used to speak about this. How Reb Chaim was, the greatest, his grandfather, the greatest genius of the generation, but he said his Emunah was like a little child. He never lost that innocence of a child, even as he got sophisticated and brilliant. So in light of that, so now Revolvi quotes himself, if you will. He says, end of this paragraph, as we saw previously, Ikar ha'emunah, again, I don't think he means objectively or philosophically, but on a practical level, what's the main way to have emunah, the way emunah is expressed? Tziur, the ability to visualize, to imagine oneself, to imagine Hashem, even though obviously what we're imagining, if we're thinking of God himself, cannot be accurate, but nevertheless, it's still valuable. Hatziurim ha'ma'orim pachad mehadar gon uzo yizbarach, v'yira meha mishpat va'onesh ha'shamayimi, gabhein be'emunah yisodam. So what now, attaching that thesis, that premise, I should say, with what we're seeing in this chapter. Again, we're still not all the way there yet, but now he's starting us on the journey of understanding what's going on. What we now are saying is that feeling that we have, that we can visualize, right? I want to do something. I'm tempted to do something. Someone's trying to get me to do something. And I really would want to do it. But I have this fear of like this huge hammer from the sky about to come and crush me. This huge lightning bolt from the sky. The fact that that would, to believe in that, and to visualize that, as a way of regulating, which then regulates my behavior, that is a form of emunah. And now he explains why this is so important and so relevant. Hine, ha'amanas ha'alokut kolomar ha'emunah b'metzius Hashem. Right, remember we had said three different things in the Rambam. The first is the most basic idea, to believe that there is a God who is the prime force who created the world. That belief, he says, in theory, He levadam sugelat lasot roshem ko amok bilibenu atchia yichola lishanot et kol helech machshavoteinu. In theory, if we really, really, really think about that, if we really, really believe in that, we really, really internalize that, that alone should be enough to inspire, to regulate all of our behavior. Because that's such an awesome thing. Everything flows from that. And in fact, we'll skip now to the next page. He points out the way the Ramban adds some wrinkles. Not important for us in the limited time we have. Turn over the page, the top of the next page. What's the issue? The problem is, b'cholzos, l'rov ha'ma'aminim, nish'ara emunazu mufshat l'medai. The problem is, it's too abstract. Right? How many of us are philosophers? Right? And even a philosopher, what does that mean? You know, it's philosopher, they're philosophizing, right? There's a reason we use that term sometimes even pejoratively. Right? It means, like, you're up in the sky, it's very detached from this world, right? For most people, it's going to be too abstract. It won't help. Again, and remember, Volbe's interested in tachlis. How is this going to be part of your life? So he says, okay, we move on to level two. Roshem odio terchazak, something that isn't, he says, taka would be better. Terchlit kabel ha'mona sayichud. The next point, right? The idea in that all these things I see throughout my life and throughout the world, not just what happened 5,700 years ago, but that the constant and ongoing thing, that's Hashem, and that's the same Hashem that created the world, it's all unified, that taka, that's actually a little bit more down to earth, because now we're talking about not something that happened that I don't remember, that I never saw those thousands of years ago, a big bang or whatever, we're talking about things that are happening right now. True, he says. That's the idea, hanora she'ein o milvado, that everything ultimately is coming from Hashem. It's true that would be good. However, skip two lines, three lines, last word. But even this has its limitations. It's better than the first, but it has its limitations. Why? Ach gam emunah zot mitoreret b'chol tokfo rak l'ragayim b'shas hit'alut yitera. Says, but even this, most of the time, even if we believe it, it's dormant. It's not burning inside of us. It pops up every now and then. It's like one of those games that you go to the old-fashioned arcade, you bang it, whack-a-mole. Right, so most of the time, right, it comes up and then it goes back down, and often because we're suppressing it because it's too hard to live like that, right? Who wants to live with the idea of Hashem around every corner? It's too scary, right? So it's very rare that it even comes up. He says, you're having a great spiritual experience. He says a great Kriya Shema. I'll add in parentheses, Gottlieb editorial. Halavai, we all had such great Kriya Shemas that we were moved. Wow, that was. Halavai. I was thinking you have a great Kumsitz, a great Shalashuddis, a great whatever, a great Ne'ila, a great Kriya Shema. I think I may have told the story, maybe even in these Shirim, but I don't tell the Shirim in other context, that years ago when my son Yosef was not 20, when he was in 7th or 8th grade, he had a number of questions, one of which had to do with davening, the other one had to do with Tcheles. And I took him as a young boy, Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, Rav Shiva of the Gush, ended up being about an hour of his time after Friday Shir. Anyway, we went, and he asked, Rav Moshe, where's Tcheles? His father didn't. So Yosef, my son, wanted to know that his father, me, doesn't wear. Can he wear? Because he's really convinced it's correct. And one thing led to another, and he asked, my son, because only a kid would ask this, he asked Rosh Hashiva, why do you wear if your father didn't? I told him in the car afterwards that you asked that question that every Gush guy would want to ask, but would be too embarrassed to ask. But since you're eighth grade, you're not embarrassed, so you asked it. And anyway, the whole conversation was amazing. But one of the things he mentioned, he wasn't boasting, Chas v'Shalom, he was just describing, he was recollecting, it had already been a few years, why is it that, when did he start wearing? He said he noticed that during Kriya Shema, and whether he was operating in the yeshiva or a local minyan in Alon Shvut, he says he noticed more and more and more that during Kriya Shema, during the Parsha of Vayomer, his eyes were wandering as he said the word tzitzis, 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 to people in the shul who had tcheles. And it's clearly, again, he had learned the sugya years before. When he first learned the sugya, he wasn't convinced. Over the years, he was getting more convinced. But he consciously thought it was only theoretical, abstract, you know, intellectual. But he realized about himself, he said, after at some point he realized, apparently I really, really believe it. This is the, you know, if my eyes keep on going to other people's talisim, then I might as well have it on my own talis. At this point, clearly in my gut, I think it's the right thing. So why am I, so to speak, borrowing other people if I should be a person of giving? So that was, then he went on to his chelus point, and his father was alive, not alive. So when we got in the car, the first thing I said to Yosef was, I said, the most amazing thing in the conversation, you have to realize, is that that's a person who davens Shema with so much kavana that it actually could make a change in his life. Most people say, you're half asleep, you're rushing, you know, is the chassid going too fast, chassid going too slow? To daven a Shema like that, where you even have that self-awareness that you're inspired by every time you hit, say the word chelus, say the word tzitzis, I mean. So anyway, that reminded me of this. There are people. So, but first of all, most of us are not on that level. Okay, but it doesn't have to be Kriya Shema, it could be other things. But the point is, says Rav Obi, there's still going to be a limitation because it only, you really only, you know, get in touch with this in a way that will really impact you, as he says, in random or limited moments of spiritual inspiration. So therefore, he says, middle of the paragraph, end of the line, Rak, what therefore we need to come to the third level. Emunas Hayira. What's the thing that has the ability to be the most impactful, the most effective, most consistently? Emunas Hayira. Ubefrat Yiras Achet V'Haonesh. Hihi Ha'asuy L'Lavodet Ha'Adam Tamid. And the thing he's going to mention again, the next paragraph, we'll see in a second. The thing which is often the most derided in the elite halls of yeshiva, and certainly Lahavdil in the philosophy departments or others, is very snide and elitist to look down on the simpletons whose whole avodas Hashem is only yiras shamayim, meaning yiras achet, yiras haonesh. Oh, it's such a low level. You know, really, you should be at your yiras haromimus. Believe, you know, which is objectively maybe true. But says Rav Obi, Adarabba, on a practical level, tachlis, let's be honest with ourselves. What's the thing that has the ability to have the most impact over the most time for the most people in the most circumstances? No one's looking to get a potch. The fear that, you know what, if I do this, I'm going to get a real potch. The potch might come in this world, God forbid, something that happens to me, I want to listen to a child, etc. Or the potch will be in the next world. I'm not interested in either of them. Says that is the thing which is going to be the most consistent. If you want to take something to the bank, that is going to be the one that has the ability. L'rasein et yitrav. He writes very poetically here. Can muzzle his yetzer. Uledarbo no lamasim tovim. It can somehow encourage you or guide you only in the right directions. Nimsa ki amura b'fol. And here's the key. I would, you know, double and triple underline or highlight that, because that's been the whole theme of the whole series of chapters. It's not about abstract emuna. But what is his interest in? Emuna b'fol. How does a person actively, practically, part of their lives, have emuna? Ha emuna b'fol, ha gamar hu? Or he? Emuna sayira dafka. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, the aspect of emuna which can be most part of our lives on a daily and regular basis is the fear, and specifically, the fear of punishment. And now he says, that's pshat, when the Gemara says, Masech Tamachos and Dav Chav Gimel. Yes, we have 613 mitzvos. But at various points in history, the Gemara says, I don't know if it's literally or figuratively, various great tzaddikim, you know, said, well, we could actually reduce this to 10 principles, to 3 principles. And then says the Gemara, Chabakuk, put it on one. If you want to reduce the whole Torah, the whole Judaism to one thing, Tzadik be'emunasa yichya. What does he mean by that? He's talking about, says Rav Obi, wasn't talking about emuna in some general vague sense. Zenemar dafka al emuna sayira. Yes, it's true. If you had to do one thing, and you had only one thing only, said Rav Obi, the one thing should be emuna sayira, fear of getting punished. Ki atzadik hachay b'unaso hu dafka hamayim in yiroso yisbarach l'hafachimeno. If you want to talk about someone who lives with yira, lives with emuna, excuse me, that's someone who has a genuine yiras shamayim, and yiras shamayim, even in the most basic sense of Yiras Onesh. And now he quotes, I'm not as familiar with this, as the writing is interesting. I don't want to digress too much because we just have a few more minutes, but Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, you know, has had such an outsized impact on Judaism in the last few hundred years, but mostly through his Talmidim. He has writings, but they're much less popular than the writings of his Talmidim. People read the Svarim of the Altar of Slobodka, and even to some extent the Altar of Kelim, and Nevardik is not as popular, but people read that, and then people read the next generation, the Talmidim of them, the Ruchon Lvovitz and Mechaskel Abramsky, and then eventually get to Revolbi himself. There's a whole Musar world. You know, but Yisrael Salanter himself has it, Negeres HaMusar, which he's going to quote in a second, has a sefer called Or Yisrael. Those are, they're actually hard to read. Part of it is that they're hard to read. But also, for whatever reason, it's interesting. So, I'm not enough of a scholar on Muslims. There are academics who study Muslim from a scholarly perspective. There's something kind of cute about that. But it does exist. And I'm sure people have what to say about that. And I can't be the first person who noticed that. But this is something, I actually think I have it in a book at home, but I can't say I've ever read it through. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter has what he calls the Igeres HaMusar. And in that, which I had never read previously, so he quotes the following. He basically makes this point. Let's read a few of the highlights. He says, Bli das, or bli tfuna nakir. He says, without having much sophisticated, you don't have to be such a smarty pants, you don't have to study so much. We have to realize that even without that, hamuna merachefet banu, right? There is a certain amuna that's inside of us, it hovers in us. Ha'elukim, and what is that? What's the thing that we instinctively believe? Ha'elukim shofedhu, latei le'ish kofrim alalo. That Hashem is the judge and is going to give each person what they deserve. He reishit adenu lavodas Hashem yisbarach. That is the first step towards true, being a true Ben Torah, or Bas Torah. He quotes then the Gemara about Habakkuk, the same point. That's obviously where Revolbi got it from. Skip to the next paragraph, still quoting from Yisrael Salanter. Very, very powerful. Again, the Hebrew is poetic, the Hebrew is hard, but it's really worth it. Achein, lemoras ruach v'da'avon lev. So despite the fact that he says this, that he thinks it's the most instinctive, the most basic, the most effective thing, says Rav Yisrael Salanter, but to my great, you know, tsar, my pain, I'm depressed about it, my davon lev, koach ha-klali hazeh, rak mistater banu. This incredibly powerful, overarching instinct, spiritual belief, remains hidden inside of us. Right? It is hidden, nechbeh b'matzpunei halev. It's hidden in the most hidden parts of our hearts. Bal yirachutza. It doesn't get out too much. Unless, emlona sim lev, l'shadeid admas l'vaveinu b'harchavat ra'ayonei ha-musar. Right? Again, this is his big plug for Musar. It'll remain hidden inside of us unless we, so to speak, plow through the rough soil of our heart. And what's going to be the blade on the edge of that plow? The learning of Musar. Ilazos, but without that, gam ha-kocha kali ha-lazeh, bal yishlach pe'erutav al ha-evarim l'asarim b'ma'asar ha-yira v'chulei. Then the ability that Yira has, which is inside of us, which could impact and guide and control all the limbs of our body, it's just going to remain under wraps. Okay, that's the poetic part of Rav Yisrael Salanter. Let's just see how Revolbi summarizes that, and with that we'll conclude. What do you see from this point of Rav Yisrael Salanter? Harei Hagon Rav Yisrael b'davro al ha'emuna ha'yisodit ha'misateret b'leiv kol ish b'Yisrael. When Rav Yisrael Salanter is speaking about this powerful amuna, the pintaliyah, the amuna that every Jew has, specifically, what Rav Yisrael Salanter limited to? Miskavin b'pashtus al yiras onesh. The idea that God is a shofet, that there's a judge, there's reward, but there is also punishment. Why? Because rak emuna zu b'kochal l'hamir otano al ragleinu avodas Hashem. And he points out, I didn't know this, I'm not enough of a scholar of Yisrael Salanter's thought. Yedua hu. Now it's Yedua to us, if it wasn't beforehand. Ki rabbeinu hagon Rabbi Yisrael, mashtit avodah ha'adam davka yorda onesh. He says, this is not a coincidence, this is a leitmotif. In all of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's approach to Musar, he focused on Yiras Onesh. Right? We like to think of Slobodka, Gatla Sa'adam, and other things. But if you go back to the founder, the beginning of the whole thing, Yiras Onesh. And he points out, and here's the part I think is so powerful, and it's self-aware of Ravobi. Regilim Lahavin. Usually we think, Shehu Hekil Aleinu. Right? We often think of this as the lower level, and therefore Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is just kind of giving us a kula. Because the higher form of Yiras Shamayim is not just being scared, oh no, I don't want to get punished, but truly, you know, being aware of the wizard behind the curtain and Yiras Haromimus, and wow, Hashem's so amazing. And again, from a philosophical, theological perspective, that clearly is a higher level. Clearly a higher level. Right? That's because Yiras HaOnesh is about yourself. Right, Yiras HaRomus is just, wow, Hashem is amazing. Right, it's again, it's the difference between I don't want to, you know, do the wrong thing because I don't want to get punished, or I don't want to do the wrong thing because I don't want to disappoint my parents. Right, the second one's on a much higher level. Right? If you truly, truly love and respect your parents, it's not whether you get punished or not. You just don't want to let them down because you believe it, right? So that's a high, isn't that a higher level of being a child? I think it's obvious. Again, halavai, our children just do the right things, they don't want to get punished. Right? It's tapas. But it says on a practical level, so too, says Rav Yisrael Salanter, and Rav Albi is explaining him, it's not Rav Yisrael Salanter being makil on us. Oh, it's okay if you only have the lower level. No, that's the wrong way of looking at it. Rather, no, so you might think, oh yeah, Rav Yisrael Salanter is saying this because only a few of the elite, the philosophers, they can have Yiras Aromos, and the Rav Yisrael Salanter is speaking to the Hamonam. No, says Rav Albi. If you call it now, we can now understand. Ki yiras ha'onesh ain't a kula. It's not a leniency compared to the idea of understanding God and being awe of His essence. Ela b'fo'al, it's just more practical. B'fo'al. And if you're looking at it from a practical level, it is the sea sheba emuna. It's actually the climax. B'vada yesh l'kol adam lish'ov liras ha'onesh. Of course, we should try to get to the higher level. But practically, tachlis, what's going to be more effective on a day-to-day basis? Emuna b'liras ha'onesh. It'll be lacking if you don't have that. And again, we don't have to read the rest of the inside, but now he goes back to the beginning of the chapter. We saw the Pasuk, the Zohar, the Rambam, all of them talking about Emuna and specifically mentioning Yira as a component, or maybe even Yira as a prime component. And now, says Rav Albi, now we understand. The reason is because if you truly, truly, or to know, to believe in Hashem is to fear Him. And therefore, on a practical level, it's the lowest hanging fruit. It's not the more beautiful fruit, maybe above, but you can't always get to that fruit. And you certainly can't always get to it without first getting the lowest hanging fruit. The easiest thing to concretize our belief in Hashem is Yiras Onesh. It's not the most flashy, it's not the most inspiring, but it is the most effective and the most practical, which is the focus here. And you see here again, on a philosophical level, is Yira part of the Emunah? The answer he says is clearly yes. Because our belief in Hashem, which includes Schar V'Onesh, Tzmameila, if you believe in Him, you have to be scared. If you're not scared, it's not because you're tough. If you're not scared, it's just because you clearly don't believe. Because anyone who truly believed that there was always an Ozen Shomas, and always an Ayin Roeh, and Hakol Nechtav B'Sefer, how could you not be scared? No, I'm tough. I don't care. I can take anything. Give me a break. Anyone who doesn't have your Shemaim, it's not because they're tough. It's because they really don't believe. So if you really, really believe, your Shemaim has to come with it. And you see, it's not just a part of Emunah. Says Rav Albi, in many, many ways, it's the most important part of Emunah because it's the easiest one for us to imagine and visualize and internalize. And it'll be the one that we can all most consistently use. It's not the only part of Emunah. It's not necessarily even the highest part of Emunah. But it's the most important part of Emunah in the sense that it's the most accessible and most practical and most important. Okay, good job, everybody.